expenses that are here. They're not, it's not coming. We, who are called as sons of God and have every possible provision, everything pertaining to life and godliness. You know that's true, right? As far as any personal and immediate need that God thinks you deserve or any obstruction in your life, he's available for you to call for help. And we've all said that we cannot do this. Are we clear on that part? That we can't do it. That it's impossible.
Yeah,
because if you think, well, get out of my way, here I come, because there are big accomplishers here in the business realm. I mean, God has blessed us, and I'm not saying they're all geniuses, but they've had help, and they're doing an extraordinarily good job. Nobody's going to say, gee, I wish these guys would get something done. But from the standpoint of what's said in John, 1 John there, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And it's not because I can't think of anything to say for the pause, but there is a God who can change whatever he wants to change that we approach him with, because I've gone to him several times on that, and he's shown, some areas of my sick affection that should go, and I'm sure you have too. You're not all novices or green beanies or girl or boy scouts. You've been around this for a long time. And so at this juncture, I think it would be extraordinarily important to say, God, I love you, but there must be more love for myself. And I don't know if anybody would like to come up and you can, we'll do away with anything if there's anybody who said, I know for sure that I love my God more than anyone. Myself or anything. And boy, I'll get out of the way and anybody hear what I think. We know the predicament we're in as we're going forward. And make that a prayer. God, take the affections that are sick and diluted with silly, soulish spontaneity, the immediate, the thing that I can conquer. God, help me in the mystery that you've provided for me to detest what you hate and to love what you love. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the good things that have happened in these times and the full summer that's ahead of us, and we don't know what's there. We don't know what you'll demand of us. We don't know the up and down and sideways of anything that you would keep from us. But you have shared your heart and the openness and the plan that is so wonderful. Give us the guts to trust you. You made us, you made the world, you made all the beautiful things out there. Certainly, you can make a way because you've said you could for us. We ask these things in the name of the one who absolutely trusted you for every minute of his trial here on earth. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, good evening. Nice to be with you. I guess I haven't been to a regular service here in quite a few weeks. It's not that I missed out on services. Actually, when I get home, I would like you to have to catch up to how many services I've been to so I don't need to come for a couple months. But here we are again. And if it was quantity of services, I'd be transfigured before you right now. There's a couple things that are written in the book of Luke. You don't necessarily have to turn there. There's an illustration or a declaration for us, because Jesus, it's talking about Jesus's life, and there's examples of the way he walked while on this earth. Hebrews 9 tells us that his offering, he made an offering before us by the eternal Spirit. And the truth is, the way we conduct ourselves in this life on this earth must be by the same way that Jesus did, through the eternal Spirit. The truth is, we don't know how to walk through this world. Brother Bill said something challenging to start. For all of us, it's challenging wherever we are, whatever stage of growth. And that is, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, which is a challenge, because I can say that I love the Father. I can't quantify how much I still love the world, because some days I feel like I don't love it, right. And other days I feel like I do. And I'm not talking about whatever comes to mind when you think of world. I'm talking about my world, my little world. Because it's, we paste on a list of things, of do's and don'ts, of what's in the world. We don't do this, we don't do that, but that's not what it is. It really is living by the source of your own life and what comes out of our own soul. That's what it is to still love the world. And if I find myself living in that world, which I do sometimes, then there's an indication that there's some fondness still attached to it. There's still some fondness attached to my opinion. There's still some fondness attached to my reactions. I think they're right. And I could give you reasons why they are. And I've often thought of self-justification. When you're in your right mind, which would be the mind of Christ, if you weigh that against the justification that you've been brought into, by the sacrifice of Christ and what went before us, there's no comparison, right, to self-justify. It's a dead-end street, but we still sometimes get into it. But Jesus, towards the end of his life, before he finished his course fully, he said, there are things that are written about me that must be accomplished in me. And he said, the things concerning me have an end. And I thought, that's an important thing maybe to put in front of us. You know, there's, as much as we do, as much activity as we have here, there is something that must be accomplished in me, yes, and in us, in accordance with God's intention from the beginning. I know we have a lot of activity, and we have to eat, and we have to live, and God has provided wonderfully for us, and there's I love that the gifts are functioning. The particular individual giftings that people have that are functioning for the whole, and I've always appreciated that the men and women that they're not just providing for themselves to, you know, to accumulate. That's a beautiful thing. I think that's a beautiful aspect of our lives together, that they're providing for others. So that means that it's very silly to compare who's providing more and who's providing less, because God gives to every man according to what he has to function in. He seems to overload. I could talk about a family that's not here, because that would be safe, but it seems to me that he overloaded the Dave and Donna Austin family with extra giftings. And it's not based on fairness of quantity, because all of them can sing, all of them can play something, and they can do 100 other things. And it's not some fairness of the, everybody's been given something to offer and to share for the good of everyone else. So I appreciate all that, but there's something else that's going on in our hearts that is above that. And what's above that is that what God has birthed in us of Christ when we came into our born-again experience, born from above, was brought us on a course to bring us into in the same condition that Jesus was, where he came to the fullness of what it was to be the Son of God. He came to the fullness of that. And what that is indicated by is the fullness of his dependency and level of surrender to his Father. Because the commandment he received to go to the cross came from his Father, right? I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up. This commandment I've received from my Father. You too also have the authority, it says in John 1, to become. You didn't conjure that up. You were given the authority, it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power, that word is authority, to become. And so you've been given the authority to become sons. And Jesus too was given the authority. And so these couple lines in Luke say, there's things that must still be accomplished in me, and these things concerning me have an end. And I hope that inspires us, not just because I'm saying it now. I mean, it inspires us in our lives that I have a destination. You know, we have a destination, a spiritual destination that God has called us into. You know, and Jesus did too. And he said, you know, he says in Luke 12, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized in, and how I'm constricted. Yep. Right? How I'm narrowed until it be accomplished. And that has got to be the narrowing thing. The overarching constriction of our lives must be in reference to what God wants to bring us into, right? That is really the true constriction. And so he makes a transition, and I'm going to go, I really like to be able to circumcise, you know, what you say. Ben Greenleaf, we were laughing one day because that word circumcised was used by one of us in a meeting with others that don't use that word normally. A business meeting. We're going to circumcise this meeting. We don't what? Yeah, it is. It's just, it's a normal word to us. That's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of normal words that are not normal. But he makes a transition, right? He makes a transition with in John 16. And I think in all of our hearts, I know we've made this transition, but it's an ongoing transition that Jesus gets with his disciples. He says, you know, I'm going to go away. And they're very upset by that, right? This is a definite problem. He's the guy that had all the goods. And he's going to go away. And he said, but he didn't say it this way, but this is how I'm going to say it. It's extremely expedient for you that I go. Because if we could elect somebody here that could be the spiritual representation of the whole, and they could get all the dealings and all the perfecting work of the Spirit of God and all of it consummated in one individual, then we would follow that individual. And that is not what God intended. He intended to have a family. He intended to bring forth many sons. He didn't intend to have one. We so appreciate what Jesus did in the earth before us and the way he walked before us and the offering he made of that spotless lamb that opened a whole new, you know, living way for us. But God never intended that to be something that was sufficient for what his full purpose was. His full purpose was to bring forth many sons. It couldn't happen without the pattern son. It couldn't happen without Jesus' life on this earth. But it was his intention is to bring forth many sons. And so he said, it's very expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter, because the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is the way that you are able to find out how to conduct yourselves in a life on this earth that is contrary to the very purpose and nature of God. And a course of this world is contrary to the course that I am going to bring you on. And because of that, you need another influence working continually, right? I need another influence working continually. And so, and I think what's going on is that I hope we understand there's a need. And I hope we tell our children, and I hope we tell all those beautiful graduates that spoke to us the other day. What a plethora of females there was. Yeah, they all looked beautiful and were beautiful in what came out. And I hope we tell them that this relationship can be real, it can be genuine, it can be living, it can be true. Because when Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, Father, I want them one in the same way that we're one. And have you read about, you know, if you turned over, we're not going to turn there, but if you turned over to John chapter 5, you can read the kind of connectivity that he had with his Father. Right? He said, my Father works and I work. As a matter of fact, I don't do anything that he's not doing. I'm not thinking stuff he's not thinking. Right? The words I speak come from him. There was a connectivity that Jesus demonstrated on this earth that he prayed that you and I would come into that same connectivity. That's got to be accomplished here. And I hope your prayer is, Lord, I not for stuff. I mean, we pray for stuff. I'm not saying don't stop praying for stuff if you know, we pray for a lot of things. But in your own prayer life, I hope you're saying, Lord, I need this connectivity to be genuine. I need it to be genuine. I need it to be true. I need it to be living, right? Real. Jesus said things while on this earth that are a challenge. He said, I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. And then it's almost like a correction. I mean, it's not, but he said he gives a further explanation. I didn't say that for myself because I know you always hear me. I said it for those that are gathered here that haven't gotten to that point of connectivity yet. And there's a lot of stuff like that, and I hope there's a challenge in your heart and in my heart that there's something that must be accomplished in me still. The things concerning us have an end. It's not an interminable rehearsal of structure and praise services and conventions and messages. And I'm not against any of that. I'm encouraged. I like the praise services. I love the songs that come out of the heart of the Lord from individuals. And I am encouraged by listening to messages. Many times. I even write notes. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying what actually must take place in our hearts is the connectivity that Jesus demonstrated while on the earth. where I am connected and one with my Father so that He is my source. The source that we are called to live by is the source of the Spirit that He sent when He left. It's expedient that I go. That's why I love the passage in John chapter 20 when Mary's talking to who she thinks is the gardener. Do you know where they put His body? And I'm sure I've said it. I don't know if there's anything that I'm going to speak that I've never said. But I'll think of something new, maybe. but do you know where His body is? And then He says, Mary. It was this personal address with Mary. And she said, you know, then she knew who it was. And He had one single message for Mary to go bring back to the disciples. Of all the messages, He said, go tell my disciples that I'm going to my God and your God. This is what I want these guys to know. And I'm going to my Father and to your Father. He was conveying that this work of the Spirit and this thing that's being accomplished in Him must be also accomplished in them. And that was the primary message. That was the first message back after the cross, after the grave. Was the first message was, God wants to do this in you also. And not just in a small part degree. In the fullness of what He intended. And so that's what's going on with all of us, is a development of this relationship. There's a growth. There's an increase, right? Yeah, there's decrease. Yeah, there's plenty of decrease. Decrease of my life. But more primary is that there must be an increase. If all we have is some decrease of life, of our own life, we have a dead place. Unless there's an increase of another life that is far above that. Right? That's why it says, He must increase. It says that first. And I must decrease. I know the decrease is difficult. I know it's gotten a lot of attention because we all have balked at it. But the truth is, the central issue is the increase of who He is here. That's what's being accomplished in us. And you know, I think sometimes you get a glimpse of, not always, you get a glimpse though of the life of God working. And you are ashamed that still how many times you source yourself because you say, my God, in comparison, there's no. I mean, you see somebody that just loves, not that they're doing anything particularly, you get a glimpse sometimes, like a window opens or a light goes on and you see somebody that loves something that is unlovable or someone that's unlovable, or they serve in a way that with no regard for themselves, you get a glimpse of the love of God working in an individual. I gave my daughter and JT, her husband, she has a husband now. I hate to say this, I think though I was walking her down that aisle gently and gingerly and had tears, I really think she was focused on the man in front of her, if you can imagine. But I gave him a very simple little message that you need to cry out to God to love each other in the way that God has loved you. Very simple, easy thing to do. So they're going to do that. I think they're probably already doing it. I don't know. But you get a glimpse of that and you say, oh my goodness, everything I have pales, you know what I mean? I had such an image at times. I don't sew, but my wife does, so I have pictures, images, visions of thimbles a lot. And that's what I felt like at times, that with all my effort, I'm pouring a thimble full of my love, dousing somebody, flooding them.
Don't spill it.
Yeah. And you see the love of God that's shed abroad. That loves what is unlovable and reaches down and doesn't. all that human analysis that messes us up. But I want to say this relationship is very costly, and I did tell the kids that too at the wedding. I said, and I wasn't trying to emphasize this, you know, necessarily how expensive the wedding was, you know, that's kind of distasteful, but it was just saying, as much energy and what it takes to put on a wedding like this, this is the least expensive part of the whole thing. It's the least expensive part of marriage. And I think that's true in this union that we're coming into, this connectivity with the Lord, with the Father. And I think he talks about it. But it's really it's an encouraging passage in Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read it. Because in order to be a good mate, sometimes it says, you know, it tells you the things you should do with your wife. And I've joked about, well, that's just a type and shadow. They're talking about Christ and the church. We don't want to overemphasize those things. But in Malachi 3, it talks about what it takes for this relationship. It says, who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer. And they may offer themselves unto the Lord. And I have done that, right? I mean, haven't you said, I mean, I don't know what words you use, but we all use different words. But Lord, I'm here today. I'd like to be with you today. I'd like to be, you know, I'd like you to lead me, direct my steps, you know. And sometimes it's more inspirational than at other times. I mean, more times than not, I've said, Lord, here I am again to offer myself, because I know that's, I know that's the thing that you're looking for, that you want to offer yourself. But Lord, can I add something that I have offered myself on other days, and later in the day I've changed my mind. And do you know that about me, Lord? Do you know I've changed my mind about that offering, when you actually respond to the offering? Because he responds to the offering. And this is why I think sometimes people are afraid to offer, because God refines us and he purifies us and he shows us the wretchedness and the smallness of our own selves and our incapacity to be and do and to continue some days on that journey to the fullness of who the Son is. And I said this is a positive scripture. I don't want to upset you with the refinery and the fullers. I did look up the fullering process, and they use a base, an alkaline soap. And for those of you that older guys that worked in Service Master, that would be like SNB, right? That SNB stuff. Any of the guys remember when my dear brother Joel decided to drink a cup of that? Because we were able to get free punch or soda at this one of the places we do the floors, and as fate would have it, the color of the punch that one brother was drinking is the same color as the SNB alkaline cleaner that we were using on the floor. And as fate further would have it, they both used the same kind of cups and had them near each other, about a foot apart, on the same counter. And my brother Joel took a big swig of the wrong cup. I mean, he was able to spit it out, but every blood vessel in his face and neck, and it was a disaster. I say all this to encourage you with this fullering process. And what they used to do with the wool was they'd get this very alkaline soap, and they would beat it and stamp it to get the oils out and to clean it, so to make it totally pure. And I don't see God in that way. I see him as a loving father, but I also know that he takes extreme measures to get us into the condition that we can be, have the kind of connectivity that he's really looking for. And none of us are, I mean, all of us pale as parents when you consider the Heavenly Father that we have. But he's willing to go. And I'm going to get to the positive part here. Let's just skip down to verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed." I think that's a beautiful promise. You know why we're still saying, "Here I am again, Lord"? Because he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his thought about his intention of what he wants to accomplish here. That's why we continue to go. He hasn't said, "Wait a minute." Like I've said, right? With my kids. "Wait a minute. I have had enough." And then they give you a little more. I also brought up a funny story at the wedding. I'm giving you a report about the wedding. You're welcome. There will be a video forthcoming. I don't know when, but sometime. Because we were able to have Chris Bailey come, and so at least you know it'll be good. But Maria, one time, her and JT were in an argument, and he saw her apartment, and there was a few things askew. I mean, it was less than 100, I'm saying. And he's more of a neatnik. Boy. Trouble in River City. And he said something, I really loved it. It was such a lie, but I loved it. He said, in his frustration, "If your father was here, this place would be cleaned up." Bless your heart. You know what? He was like God at that moment, calling those things that are not as though they are. But you and I are very fortunate that, you know, even though, you know, you look at your failures as a parent, I was a failure there as a parent. That was the point of that message. And but God, he doesn't quit on us.
That's right.
He does not quit on us. No. He said, "Oh yeah, well, that didn't work so good, did it? Here, let me help you up." Yeah. Right, does everybody know that a righteous man falling seven times is not a literal number? I don't know very much about numerology of scripture, but I am certain that's not a literal number. I'm also certain I am dead in the water if it is a literal number. Okay? But and the writers were, but I'm pretty sure there's a spiritual interpretation there. So it's good news. God, he doesn't change. He doesn't quit on us in the processing of bringing us into the kind of connectivity that he really is looking for. I mean, but I want to get to one thing, and I won't be much longer, I don't think, and that is sometimes we represent too much. We represent the wrong kind of wisdom. There's two kind of wisdoms that are mentioned in the Bible, and there's one wisdom that comes from below. And sometimes we represent wisdom that comes from below in what's going on in our lives. And I love what Paul writes, because Paul, when you read Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 11, you know, they do a composite picture there of shipwrecked and, you know, all the stuff. How many times was he beaten? 40 lashes, say one. I mean, you know, stoned, left for dead. I mean, it's all in one section, so it seems like a lot. It actually is a lot. And where did Paul get this thought in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18? We don't have to turn there, but it says, "This affliction, this light affliction, which is but from a moment." How did he get that line? How did he get those words? I thought, man, that's a source that you and I should maybe get a hold of. Where we get lines that aren't from below. It doesn't take a lot of effort to get the lines from below.
Yeah.
Cool. They just seem to come. I think Ben said it this morning. He said, you got all this stuff coming up, you know, about no water, you know. It was a really good, important line to dig. And, you know, James refers to it. We don't have to turn over there. He says, the wisdom from above is first pure. That means it's pure of source. That word comes from holy. It's the source. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without my bias driving my truck in the middle of the intersection, right? It's without hypocrisy. But it's pretty powerful. And he says the wisdom from beneath is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there's two kinds, right? And you know, he says, if you have strife and envy in your hearts with each other, are you not carnal? Does not this wisdom come from beneath? You know, little indicators of where I'm drawing wisdom. And I thought, how important it is in the processing of this, coming into this kind of connectivity, that you and I just want to say, I think one thing that really is important to me, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's just one sentence out of a verse. It just caught my attention. Verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet. And I thought, wow, that's something I need, and I think this place needs it. That we study to be quiet. Because if we study to be quiet, perhaps we could hear the voice of the Comforter giving us some other wisdom that doesn't seem readily available, that we actually have to have in order to know how to look at what's going on. Yeah. Study. It takes study. Does anybody find that? It takes study to be quiet. Man. Life is so loud with stuff. Opinions. I don't mean traffic. Like, that's one thing I hated about being in Dallas. You say you got to go 24 miles, but it's going to take you 55 minutes. What? Yeah, because of traffic, right? I'm not talking about being in a city. I'm just talking about right here. The loudness that goes on. So, in the process of that, I think Matthew 6 is important for us. It says, when you pray, verse 5, Matthew 6, 5, be not as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. It says, but when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Can I say it's so important to find that place, that secret place? And I know we say just find that secret. It's not just finding it. There's a war to find it. There is a war of noise. There is a war of opinions. There's a war of analysis. There's a war of other people saying stuff. There's a war of reactions. There's a war of things you see. You know, continually. There's a war of problems. But it's so important, above all the things that we're doing, in order to stay, that there is something that must be accomplished in us. You've got to find the secret place where you can be quiet enough to find out really what is the Comforter saying. That is how Jesus walked on the earth. He was offered himself by the eternal spirit. That's how he proceeded. And so close the door. When you've shut the door, that's important. Shut the door. Lord, I'm living too much on this wisdom that comes from beneath. I need something else. When you pray, don't use vain repetition, for they think they'll be heard for much speaking. Your Father knows what you have need of. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, you're holy. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's not talking about outside. It's your will be done right here in this earth. Then 11, give us this day our daily bread. Is that not important? Every day I need fresh bread. I need fresh bread. I don't need more structure. I need fresh bread. I don't need a lot necessarily. And when I say every day, I don't mean like literally every 24 hours. I just need it on a regular basis to be sustained. The reason that's in the Old Testament, where he sustained them with manna for almost 40 years, the reason that's there is letting us know that he has the capacity of provision for keeping us with bread that comes from heaven. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from sourcing ourselves. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God help us that we would be inspired that there is something yet to be accomplished in us. The things concerning us have an end, and God doesn't change. Amen.